I'll bet you have not heard about the Lehigh Valley Community Land Trust. Good evening. This is Lehigh Valley Discourse. I'm John Pierce, your host, and our engineer this evening, Neil Heaver. And we have a guest who is going to explain to us in the next hour exactly what this is, the Lehigh Valley Community Land Trust. He's Mike Hanzo, who is project coordinator. And Mike, we're going to learn a whole lot in the next hour about what you are doing with the Land Community Land Trust. You've been the coordinator for this Lehigh Valley Community Land Trust since 2015, and you previously served as AmeriCorps VISTA for the program. For this same program?
That's correct, yes, for the Land Trust.
All right. So what's the difference between what you did with AmeriCorps VISTA and now?
Sure. So AmeriCorps VISTA was a little bit more of a limited engagement. The idea of the AmeriCorps VISTA is that it's essentially the domestic equivalent of the Peace Corps. It's arranged through the Corporation for National and Community Service, which is a national nonprofit, one of those quasi-governmental kind of organizations. It places volunteers in community-based nonprofits for capacity-building activities. So I know a number of nonprofits in the area have hosted them. This is probably a good opportunity to mention the Land Trust is a subsidiary of the Community Action Committee of the Lehigh Valley, very well-known nonprofit organization has hosted VISTAs for a number of years.
We call it CACLV.
That's correct.
Those who are in the know, right?
That's correct. The alphabet soup.
So when you went for the position at AmeriCorps VISTA, did you specify that you wanted Lehigh Valley, or how did that work?
I'm an alum of Lafayette College, graduated from Lafayette in 2011. I was very involved in community outreach and community service in the area while a student. I was very fortunate to work with Bonnie Winfield at the college in the Landis Community Outreach Center. Wonderful program that, even though I come from Massachusetts, allowed me to really feel like I was able to put down roots to the Lehigh Valley community, take some ownership, start developing and nurturing an interest in the community development of the communities in our area. So I actually did a position even prior to that, an internship with the West Ward Neighborhood Partnership back in my student days.
In Easton.
That's correct, yes. That was another CACLV program, came in contact with the CACLV umbrella, got my mind set on CACLV. So then fast forward a couple of years when I graduated, was looking for a position. I saw the VISTA position advertised, applied to the Land Trust VISTA position to get my foot in the door with CACLV. And fortunately, it looks like the plan worked.
It did work, indeed. And your experience includes affordable housing development, urban planning, program development and administration, and community outreach and public communication. That's a whole mouthful right there. that's several different hats that you have worn. Prior to your employment with the Lehigh Valley Community Land Trust, Mike worked as a city planner for the city of Easton and was involved in managing the development of the city's current comprehensive plan. Let's just go off onto Easton a little bit, because are you a native of Easton?
No, I'm not.
No, you said Massachusetts.
That's correct. Easton, I think of that as my adopted Lehigh Valley hometown by this point. I'm a Bethlehem resident, and I work here in the city throughout the county, but it always feels good to take that 4th or 13th Street exit off Route 22.
And so with this activity that you had with the comprehensive plan for Easton, what does that amount to? How many years out are they going, and how did that start?
A comprehensive plan is the long-range plan to guide and shape the growth and development of a municipality. I could talk about this all day. I'm a planning wonk, so this is I appreciate this question. But the comprehensive plan lays the community development objectives to shape the next 20 years of development or so in a municipality. When I was involved with the Easton Comprehensive Plan rewrite, it was to replace a plan that had last been written in 1997. Two Rivers Landing had just opened at that time. The city of Easton was just really sowing the seeds of its renaissance around that time. There were just starting to be concepts in place of how do we fill some of the vacuum that would have been left with retail closings and the mall opening and that familiar story that we've all heard.
And that's going back 20 years.
That's going back 20, 30, 40 years. So by the time the comprehensive plan rewrite started around 2012, the existing plan had just become long in the tooth. We like to refer to it as the Do Good Things plan around the office because there wasn't that much specificity. I like to say the existing plan sowed the seeds for a renaissance, but that it was time to put into place a new plan that would help steward and perpetuate that renaissance and that would continue the forward momentum that Easton's been fortunate enough to witness, the whole diverse matrix of public and private sector involvement over the last 10, 15 years.
Yes, indeed. When people ask me, well, what's going on in Easton, I say a whole lot. And it does feel like a renaissance. Mike has a Master of Arts in Political Science from Lehigh University through the Community Fellows Program and a Bachelor of Arts in Government and Law from Lafayette College. So your education has been right here in the Lehigh Valley.
That's correct.
Coming all the way south from Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. Mike coordinates the Land Trust's Acquisition Rehab Resale Program, as well as the Northampton County Countywide Housing Rehabilitation Program, mm-hmm. another big one. And Mike also serves on the Lafayette College Campus Community Engagement Steering Committee and has served as both an executive board member and volunteer for Easton Heritage Day. So, Mike Hanzo, it's a pleasure to have you here on Lehigh Valley Discourse to educate us, all of our listeners, and also me, on the Community Land Trust. Let's just start from the beginning. What is it? What does it do? How does it work? Give us a little bit of history.
Sure. So I thank you for having me here on the program. I appreciate how you mentioned in the introduction that you may not have heard of the Land Trust before. One of our board members likes to say that we're the best kept secret in the valley. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we're trying to change that a little bit. So the Community Land Trust is an affordable housing organization. We're a nonprofit organization, subsidiary of CACLV, as I alluded to. What we specialize in is providing good homes for working families. So the way the Land Trust works, the magic to the Land Trust is that we'll go out, we'll purchase a piece of land. In some cases, there's a home on the land. We have had some experience with new construction. But whether we're constructing new or renovating existing improvements, we'll put an excellent home on the land. We'll put a home there that we make sure is fully up to code. Everything's been either rehabbed or new. Everything's in good working order. Then we go and we sell that home at an affordable price. The buyer purchases the actual structure itself, the house, the sticks and bricks, the four walls, whatever term you may want to use. The trust continues to hold the title to the land underneath the home. The buyer receives a 99-year ground lease stay on that land. There is a nominal monthly lease fee, but what that 99-year lease allows us to do is preserve the affordability of the house. By not buying the land at the time of purchase, that allows us to provide the house at a discount price. The ground lease contains a formula that also determines the price at which the house may be sold in the future. So that ensures the perpetual affordability of the house.
Say again, what permits you to buy the land at a reduced price?
Sure. So the buyer purchases the house at a reduced price since they're just purchasing the improvements. They're just purchasing the sticks and bricks. They're not purchasing the land. So right. We're able to discount that cost from the price. Then the ground lease to the land, which the buyer receives, contains a formula that will dictate the future sale price of the home, that will require the home be sold at an affordable price in the future, all over the 99-year period of the lease. So I always like to pitch it in a nutshell as that then you get a good square deal on a home today, and that you agree that the next buyer and the next buyer and so on and so forth get the same good square deal moving into the future.
Because as soon as the first family moves out, let's say after 20 or 25 years, and another family comes in, that 99-year lease continues.
That's correct, yes. That 99-year lease will continue after the lifetimes of anyone who's currently involved in the organization. I think that's a really powerful tool. We might go out, purchase a property today in 2017 or 2018. We have guaranteed, and that means that the home will be guaranteed affordable until 2117. Your guess is as good as mine what the real estate market might be doing in 25, 50, 75 plus years. But relative to market conditions at the time, land trust homes will always continue to remain affordable to working families in the Lehigh Valley.
So that is a huge help to folks who want to live in a house.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to rent an apartment, and they are not able to go out and just purchase anything.
Right.
Their funds are limited. Mm-hmm. And so you come up with a solution to this. And the whole issue of affordable housing is huge for many, many people.
Mm-hmm.
So this would be a great help to them. Are the houses that you provide and the properties located always in a town, in a city? Is there any rural activity that you do?
We do like to concentrate on built-up environments for a couple reasons. First of all is the emphasis on smart growth. We do want to locate ourselves within the existing built footprint. We want to locate ourselves in an area served by public utilities, water and sewer. We don't want folks worrying about the status of the septic tank on their land. We also want homes that have reasonably good proximity to transit. We want to provide as many options as possible. If someone's option is not to sit driving back and forth on Route 22, we want to be able to provide that option. Then we've had homes currently in the mainline ABE General Corridor. We've had homes in Easton, Wilson, South Bethlehem, Catasauqua, and Fountain Hill, but we're just beginning to move north up toward the Slate Belt. We just recently acquired a home at 401 West Mountain Avenue up in Penargel, located about a block away from the high school. So that's one of the projects that's coming up in our pipeline. It was an exciting moment. That was our first expansion outside of our original footprint. So CACLV is moving more and more up into the Slate Belt. Slate Belt Rising is a neighborhood improvement program up that way that CACLV launched within the past year. We're excited to complement that effort by making the move up there. We're always looking for where do buyers want to live, where is there a demand, and trying to remain flexible and responsive as an organization to meet that.
And Slate Belt Rising.
That's correct.
Is the effort that you're into now. And the Community Action Committee of the Lehigh Valley developed that. That's one of the branches of CACLV?
That's correct. That's one of the programs of CACLV. It's a neighborhood partnership program. So it's akin to Community Action Development Corporation of Bethlehem, their Southside Vision 2020, if you're familiar with that. So it's a public-private investment partnership. It has its own program director who would be more familiar with all the intricacies of the funding source. But essentially, it's a collaboration between nonprofit interests, governmental interests, and business interests for community development projects.
Well, I'm really glad to hear that there is an effort going on with the Slate Belt, because many times people who live in the Slate Belt feel as if they're second-class citizens, in the sense that they're not in the Lehigh Valley. And what we tend to talk about in our communities is Lehigh Valley. And right away, you hear Allentown, Bethlehem, Easton, and then some of the other more outlying towns sort of get lost in the shuffle.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pleased to hear about the Slate Belt Rising as an effort. How long ago did that begin?
That was just announced about a year ago, back in February 2017.
My guest this evening on Lehigh Valley Discourse is Mike Hanzo, who is project coordinator for the Lehigh Valley Community Land Trust. And we're talking about properties that the trust purchases and then has a lease of 99 years, either reconstructs a house that's there or constructs from the get-go, and then sells at a reasonable price to folks who need that hand up. Mike, what would you say makes the land trust unique and sets it apart from similar organizations?
One of the distinguishing factors is the income bracket that we serve. We can go up to 80% of the median income by household size for the area. So just to give an idea, for a single buyer, that's currently around $41,000. For a family of four, you're looking at the mid-50s. So we can serve a little bit of a higher income bracket than some other affordable housing or affordable homeownership organizations out there. If we like to refer to ourselves as workforce housing, so these might be, so our products are priced at a range where folks who might be working in the retail industry or in the service sector would be able to readily afford the prices. That's one point of distinction. Another is just the condition of the property. Our real estate agent likes to refer to our homes as the shiny penny on the market. Uh-huh. Anything we sell, we're gonna send a general contractor through. We're gonna do a full comprehensive rehab. So a buyer who moves in can be assured that all the systems of the home are in good working order. There's nothing less fun than moving into a home and all of a sudden having 6 inches of water in your basement a month later.
Yes,
we put in the construction work to prevent situations like that from happening. We also have an interior designer who has made some material selections and finish selections for our home. So you'll get a home that looks like a 2018 home, not a 1988 home or a 1998 home. So the condition of the properties, the appeal of the properties is better than comparable homes in the price range. The long-term affordability also sets us apart. The guaranteed 99 years for which the home stands affordable. As far as I've come across, I haven't heard of any other affordability period of that length. We always like to advise any potential funders that it's one of the more conservative investments in affordable housing that can be made, just because of the long-term period for which any contribution or subsidy is retained. And another distinguishing factor is just that you own it. You own the actual home. You can use it as you see fit. If you don't like the paint color, you can go ahead. You can repaint the walls. If there's hardwood in the home and you'd prefer to have carpeting down, you can put in carpet. If you want a garden, you can put in a garden on the land. You have the full responsibility of the maintenance of the home. You have the full responsibility as any other homeowner. But with that comes the full right to be able to use it and follow your bliss in the home, which certainly sets us apart from rentals. No pets preferred. Get the landlord's permission before changing the paint color.
Follow
that's not
your bliss.
Yes.
I like that.
Thank you.
Mike, it's time for us to take a break.
Okay.
But when we come back, we are going to chat with a woman who is a homeowner. And we will keep our listeners on tenterhooks until we come back. Stay with us. We'll be back in 60 seconds.
In 2018, WDIY is celebrating 23 years on the air. If you listen to WDIY, support the station by becoming a member today. Members are our most reliable source of support, and we couldn't be here without you. To become a member, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7. WDIY, serving the Lehigh Valley and beyond.
And we're back with Mike Hanzo, who is project coordinator of the Lehigh Valley Community Land Trust. It's housing for folks to be able to live in a house and to make it into a home, right, Mike?
That's correct. I like the way you put that.
And Now, we told our listeners that we were going to speak with a woman who is a homeowner, and so let's get right to it. Would you give us the idea of who she is?
Of course. So we're pleased today to be joined by Rebecca Troutman, who's one of our homeowners with the Land Trust, one of our most involved homeowners. Rebecca is a resident of Easton. She's employed as a production manager, for ice cream production at Oh Wow Cow Creamery, which, just as a personal plug, has to have about some of the best ice cream that I've ever tasted anywhere.
Wait a second. Oh Wow Creamery?
Oh Wow Cow Creamery
Cow
is
Creamery.
The name of it. Yeah.
That's a great name.
Yeah, it's a wonderful name right down there at where 611 and 412 meet up, so... And Rebecca's been a Land Trust homeowner since 2014. She purchased her home right in the fall, and she's been involved with our organizational government and governance since she came on board. She serves on our board of directors. That's an opportunity that's made available and encouraged to any homeowner. We always like our homeowners to be able to be an active part of our organizational life, and we're always very grateful for the contributions that they make.
So, Rebecca, are you with us now?
Hello, I'm here.
All right.
Pleasure to speak with you this morning.
Thank you.
Okay, so Rebecca, hopefully we can just get some of your perspectives on what it's been like to be a trust homeowner, that we can hear from you a little bit better than you would hear from me about that particular topic. So if you don't mind just telling us about how you first came into involvement with the trust, how you found out about your home, how you gotten yourself through the process, how you got to become a trust homeowner.
Absolutely. I was living in Easton, renting a home in the West Ward neighborhood, and I was spending some time with some friends who were working in an urban garden in the neighborhood, and I was saying, this neighborhood is so great, like I'd love to be able to afford a house here, but I just don't think it's possible for me to find something in my price range. And at the time, I was single. I wasn't sure if I could handle a fixer-upper. So I really wasn't looking for a home at the time. And one of my friends suggested, oh, you should talk to the Redevelopment Authority and the Land Trust, because there's a home right in your neighborhood that's being worked on right now. And I had seen work being done on this home. It was right on the same block I was renting. And that was it. I never even looked at another house. I was lucky enough to be the first eligible person who had shown interest in the home that I now own, and I went through the process and got the home. So it really wasn't something that I thought I was eligible for at the time, and the Land Trust made it possible for me.
Rebecca, a question. Yeah. How long was the process that you refer to from the time that you first introduced yourself to the Community Land Trust until you were in the house?
It wasn't long at all. I believe I reached out to them in the summer, which was maybe June or July, and then I had closed on my house at the end of October. So that was a little bit of happenstance in that the home was just being renovated, and it was just good timing that I had reached out at that point. So I was in there within 6 months.
Excellent.
And just to provide some details on how the process works, all our homes are listed as any other real estate listing would be. They're accessible. If you're working with a real estate agent, they'll show up on the multi-list, which is where all homes for sale are listed. We also will list homes on our website, lvclt.org. We'll post on Craigslist, distribute postcards. When a buyer wants to purchase a trust home, we try and make it work as much like any real estate transaction as possible. You make an offer on the home. You need to be pre-qualified or pre-approved from a bank, be able to submit a pre-qual letter, show that you'll be able to go out, get a mortgage to purchase a home. It works like a traditional purchase in that respect. Then we also require that the buyer take 8 hours of home ownership counseling. We can offer that in-house for free through our sister agency, Community Action Financial Services, plus an additional 2 hours of education on the Land Trust. We like to make sure that our homeowners are poised to succeed in home ownership. We want them to go into it with their eyes wide open and their minds made up that, yes, this is for them. We want to make it happen. So we'll stand by our buyers throughout the process. Purchasing a home for the first time can be a little bit of a confusing situation. I became a homeowner myself about 2 years back now, so I understand full well that a little bit of help and guidance can help folks through the process. I am fortunate that I work with a number of great people who can help steward buyers from that first contact. Maybe this is possible through the closing table and make it a reality. So, Rebecca, what was it that made you decide you wanted to get involved in the land trust's governance and the board in the first place?
I think in purchasing, maybe I'm just speaking for myself here, but in purchasing a land trust home, you are part of that kind of pay it forward mentality where, yes, this home is mine and I treat it as my own, but the real cool thing about the land trust is that this home is going to be offered to low-income residents at an affordable rate in perpetuity. So while I'm living there, I'm earning equity, I'm, you know, building up a little bit of savings so that hopefully, ideally, I can pay it forward to the next person who is going to take my home and use that as a way to springboard themselves maybe into a more formal home buying situation, whereas this one was a little bit different. So I wanted to get involved because I believed in what they were doing and wanted to offer a homeowner's perspective to the board of directors.
So you are a member of the board of directors currently?
I am, yes.
And how often do you meet?
We meet once a month.
Are there other homeowners on the board, or are you the whole show there?
I believe the first homeowner that the land trust ever had is on the board, and then correct me if I'm wrong, Mike, but I think there's maybe one other, Jackie. I don't remember if she's still on the board or not.
That's correct. We have four homeowners altogether on the board of directors. We always make that opportunity available to any homeowner who purchases one of our homes. One of my standard lines, I like to tell anyone who makes a purchase that when you close, once you move in, you can either go do your thing or you can get involved in the board right away, be my boss, be on the phone to me every day telling me what the land trust should do. It really is a very collaborative and collective effort, and we're really grateful for the support of all our board directors and for homeowners like Rebecca who remain active in the organization. And I feel like it's a very rich organization, or it really has a wide range of perspectives, and the participation of our homeowners is crucial. We can't thank them enough for what they do.
It's very, very good to have homeowners be part of your board. You say there are four of them, and how large is the board?
The board is 15 members altogether. Mm-hmm. So it's a sizable group of homeowners on the board.
And this is the Lehigh Valley Community Land Trust under the umbrella of CACLV, which is Community Action Committee of the Lehigh Valley. There are lots of words in these titles, huh? But I presume that Rebecca has learned some of these already. So, Rebecca, how large is your house? How large is your family? Let's get a little sense of the land itself and the house itself.
My home, so it's in the West Ward of Easton, and it's a three-bedroom home that was built in the 1900s, and then the last homeowner was an elderly woman, and then the home was a little bit neglected, and the land trust saw that as an opportunity to take a home that was crumbling a bit. I mean, there was a hole in the ceiling, there was leaking water, they completely gutted the entire place. They fixed it up with things that I probably wouldn't have been able to afford, like a French drain. They filled in the basement. They put in new roof, completely all environmentally sound appliances, all these things. So I was basically offered a home that was move-in ready and completely renovated when I joined the home. And at the time, I was single. Right now, my fiancé and I live there with two cats, so We are getting married next year, and it's a perfect home for us.
Well, congratulations. You made a great move for yourself. It's
yeah,
obvious.
I think so. Yeah.
And Rebecca's particular home was, I think, one of the most transformative projects that we've done to date. The home was on the blight list, in the list of blighted properties, high priority for redevelopment that the City of Easton maintained before the land trust involvement. So we'll get involved sometimes. We'll take homes that have fallen into blight or foreclosure or that otherwise just aren't contributing anything to the neighborhood and that are deteriorating the physical quality of the neighborhood. We'll make the investment. We're fortunate to receive grant funds from a number of local governmental organizations. We'll come in, we'll purchase the home, we'll do the complete gut remodel. So once again, we'll be able to make that home an asset to the community. It also benefits local municipalities in that if you have a vacant, blighted, or abandoned home that's not generating any tax revenue, we return homes to the tax rolls as well. So there is a benefit to neighborhoods, communities, and municipalities, both from the stability perspective and also from the tax perspective. We require owner occupancy of all our homes, so we require that steady presence. A trust home cannot be purchased by an investor. There won't be high turnover where there seems to be someone different living there every week. That's not going on with trust homes. We like to create the environment that can lead to some of the people that can lead to a steady commitment in the neighborhood and can lead to a sense of community.
You know, whose voice I hear behind yours right now, Mike Hanzo, is Alan Jennings.
And he is an excellent mentor, and he really has done so much to set the tone for CACLV and really have a lot of the conversations that need to be held here in the Valley. The trust definitely fits in well with the whole range of perspectives that CACLV offers.
Yes, and he's been at it for, I'm going to say, more than 40 years, maybe 50,
mm-hmm.
Doing this work for the community.
That's correct.
Yeah, the way you describe it just sounds so much like Alan, who, by the way, has been a host on Lehigh Valley Discourse.
That's right.
In the past. Mm-hmm. So a shout out to Alan and all his team. What else do you have for Rebecca?
So just living in, what's been the highlight of your ownership with the trust?
I think it's been that I just feel so lucky that I was able to get this opportunity and to have this home that now I'm able to make really good financial decisions for myself. I could be paying cheap rent, you know, in my neighborhood, which is going up and up and up. But instead, I am living in this beautiful home and earning equity from it that's going to allow me to pass it on to the next person and then leverage what I have earned into another home. So I just feel really lucky that I got this opportunity.
And what guidance would you have or what advice would you have for anyone out there who might be interested in purchasing a trust home or learning more?
I guess my advice would be to ask a lot of questions and learn a lot about the home buying process and to make sure that they're using every resource that's available to them between the CACLV courses, and you have been a resource to me too. I think that's all.
And let's give the website again for how people could get in touch with Mike Hanzo or others as far as the Community Land Trust.
Sure. So the website is lvclt.org. We're also on Facebook at Lehigh Valley Community Land Trust. And we're also real big on old-fashioned phone, actual person-to-person contact. Feel free to pick up the phone and give a call. My direct line number is 484-893-1061. So feel free to give me a call, ask questions, talk to me directly about the land trust. We really are about making connections with people and homes, and that's how we like to conduct our business.
I think our listeners can judge now by having listened to you for a few minutes, Mike, that you have a passion for this work.
Thank you.
And that you are indeed very willing to talk to individuals who want to come forth like Rebecca. Rebecca, good for you for finding this house and for making it yours. And best of luck in the future.
Thank you. It was my pleasure speaking with you.
Thanks, Rebecca. Very much appreciated.
It's time for us to take another break here on Lehigh Valley Discourse. We're talking about the Lehigh Valley Community Land Trust, and it is part of the organization called CACLV, Community Action Committee of the Lehigh Valley. Mike Hanzo is my guest this evening on Lehigh Valley Discourse, and we are going to continue giving you more hints about what this whole project is like and how you can become involved, should you wish, to purchase one of the houses or to be active in other ways with this organization. Stay with us. We'll be back in 60 seconds.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, call 610-694-8100, extension 6, or visit our website, wdiy.org.
So we heard from one of the homeowners, Rebecca Troutman, and she has found a place to live that she could afford, and she's super happy about it. You could tell from the way she spoke with us a few minutes ago. And she lives in Easton in one of the houses provided by the Community Land Trust. Mike Hanzo, I understand that the trust has a home for sale at 521 Wyandotte Street. We're being very specific here, aren't we? That's right up the street from our studios.
That's
here at
right.
WDIY.
Yes.
So what about this house? What would you say about it?
Sure. So this is our most current project. This is our latest listing. It is right up the street from the studio here, as mentioned. Home is being listed at a price of $95,000 for a completely renovated home inside and out. We've done a significant amount of work to this home. We're grateful to them for the support of Wells Fargo, actually downstairs on the ground level of this building, who donated us one of their bank-owned properties. We went in, we completely rehabbed the home. This home has an all-new kitchen, new stainless steel appliances, finishes selected by an interior designer, new bamboo hardwoods on the first floor, laminate upstairs on the second and third floor, two all-new baths. And the whole heating system has been serviced by a contractor, done a significant amount of electrical work to this home. So the home really is in excellent condition. It's also received a facade improvement through our sister organization. We have a very large family, if you've gathered, Community Action Development Corporation of Bethlehem. So both our home at 521 and the adjacent side of the Twin both received a facade that was meant to restore the home to some of its historical condition at the time it would have been new. So there's been some preservation done as well. This home really has a lot to offer a buyer. Everyone who comes through is always wowed by just how much natural light it gets and just what a spacious and airy feel it has. And it really would be a nice place to come to. We have a house where we think that it's really somewhere where someone can come and create a home, and that's the intent with any of our properties. That's currently available on the market. So if anyone's interested in finding out more today, if you're working with a real estate agent, you can request a showing from them. They'll know exactly what to do. If you're not working with a real estate agent yet, feel free to give me a call directly. We'll get you connected and we'll get you some information. My direct line phone number is 484-893-1061. And if you have any interest, we really want to hear from you. We'll try and get you as much information as we can. And if you want to go down the road of becoming a homeowner, we're glad to help get you started on that road.
So you are speaking like a very enthusiastic realtor here describing this house. And people have two ways to get in touch with the Community Land Trust. One is to call you directly, as you just said.
That's correct.
And the other is through a real estate agent.
That's
correct. Any agent. And again, the address that we're talking about right now is 521 Wyandotte Street in South Bethlehem.
That's correct.
Now, you have other projects coming along the pipeline.
That's correct. We're committed here to the south side. We have two other homes we'll be doing in South Bethlehem. We have two units in this grand triplex structure on Hayes Street in the territory of the Artist Lofts. If you're familiar with the general location, this home just offers so much space, and it's such a grand structure that we've taken to affectionately referring to it as the beast around the office. Right now, we've done a whole facade improvement on this home once again with Community Action Development Corporation of Bethlehem. We're working to get ready to launch a significant re-roofing project. Then we'll renovate the interiors of both of the individual units in this triplex home that we currently own. One other notable feature is that this home has a large mural on the side. So if you're looking for a home that has some character and personality, we'll definitely be able to offer that. Those projects are coming up in the pipeline, so those homes will be on the market later this year.
You don't have any addresses for those yet to tell us.
That's correct. They're on Hayes Street. We'll be sure to release more information as the project advances. We love construction photos. We'll share those throughout the process. So we'll share those. You can go to our website at lvclt.org. or like Lehigh Valley Community Land Trust on Facebook to continue to find out more information. If you're potentially interested in those homes, we want to hear from you as well. It's never too early to start getting yourself ready if you want to get yourself primed. Any buyer is required to complete 8 hours of homeownership education. Even if you don't buy from us, that's just useful knowledge to have so that you can go into the marketplace prepared and really increase your abilities and powers as a consumer. The our Community Action Committee of the Lehigh Valley offers free first-time homebuyer seminars that can meet those needs. So if you're interested in that, you can call 610-691-5620. It's never too early to schedule your first-time homebuyer seminars. You can also go out, start working with a mortgage lender to purchase a home, whether from us or in the market in general. It's always helpful to have a pre-approval letter from a bank. So if you start doing some of the groundwork with the lender now, then once you find the home of your dreams, whether it's a trust home or another home, that'll help put you in the driver's seat to make an offer. Many lenders, if you need to do a little work to maybe polish up your credit a little bit or take a couple steps to get your financial situation in order, will work with you and provide you with guidance. So if you're interested in a project coming up, it's always a good idea to start the process of engaging a lender and talking to a lender early. We're always glad, once again, to offer guidance to anyone who's interested. We also have another home that will be coming up in the Slate Belt in Penargill Borough at 401 West Mountain Avenue. That's a ranch home, so that home will be located, that home is in the vicinity of the high school. It's an excellent location, proximate to everything in the Slate Belt, so that'll be another renovation project we have coming up. I'm particularly excited for the renovation of this home because it'll have kind of a whole mid-century cool feel by the time that we're finished with it. So we certainly have lots of activity coming up. We do like to try and provide a home for any need. So if you're interested in these properties, feel free to reach out to us. We'll be sure to keep you updated as the process goes along.
Well, Mike, it sounds as if you have your plate full with traveling around to these properties, sort of keeping an eye on them, especially as they develop. You watch the development personally. And so give us a little idea of what your day might be like. I suppose there's no typical day for you.
That's correct. There really is no cookie-cutter approach to the work. We like everything to have personality. We like the human element of any home to be very apparent whenever somebody walks in. So in a given day, I might have an appointment with a potential homeowner to discuss the purchase. Just later on this week, I have an appointment with someone interested in purchasing one of our homes, as well as their real estate agent. I might be out reviewing listings, looking for the next project to take on. I might be working closely with my construction manager to put together the scope of repairs to one of these particular homes, going out in the field, having a contractor meeting on the job site, checking in on the progress. And we also have a lot of grant funding sources. It's really important to us that we're wise stewards of those funds. So I'll be doing some of the work involved in managing the different funding sources, managing the different projects, making sure everything keeps on budget, making sure that we do as much as possible to maximize the investments that have been graciously made in the trust.
For people who might want to get in touch with the Community Land Trust and get the ball rolling to see if maybe these people are potential homeowners, let me ask this question about income.
Mm-hmm.
Does the land trust require a certain minimum or a certain maximum income in order for a family to qualify?
Yes, there are income limits. The income limits are 80% of the area median income by household size. They fluctuate a little bit year to year just based on incomes in the area. But just to provide an idea, right now for a single buyer, a household of one, that would be about $41,000. For a family of four, that would be in the mid-50s. So we like to think of our target buyer. We might have a family of four, two adults, two children. Both adults have stable employment, so they're able to put together an income. They have credit that's at the point where a bank would be able to lend to them, but they don't necessarily have enough money or have enough cash to be able to purchase a home that's in the kind of condition that they would want to make it a home right away. That's where we step in. That's where we can really specialize. We can provide that already renovated home, that home that's already in good condition. Turnkey is what we like, where someone can just come in and start the process of making that home theirs and their families right away.
That's exactly what happened with Rebecca.
Right, yeah.
She mm-hmm. was not in this situation of wanting to go in and fix up a house that she could have afforded to buy perhaps, but then she would have many expenses just getting it up to speed.
That's
so
right.
She found just exactly the right thing for herself in the mm-hmm. West Ward in Easton.
And we also like to do our renovations with a lot of character. We don't have any kind of standard finishes or stock spec sheets. Whenever we renovate a home, we'll always go in, conduct an assessment of what makes the home unique, really try and highlight the most unique features, the most distinguished features of each home. Wherever we can preserve historical character, we can. Our budgets as a nonprofit organization need to be watched, but whatever we can do to draw out the most salient historic character in any home we renovate, we do that. When we do new construction, we try and offer the most design bang for the buck we can. We like our homes to really stand out to someone from the moment that they see them.
Indeed. Mike Hanzo is my guest on Lehigh Valley Discourse, and he has a Bachelor of Arts degree in Government and Law from Lafayette College, and then a Master of Arts in Political Science from Lehigh University. Mike, a question about your education mm-hmm. and then what you're doing now with
right.
your life.
Mm-hmm.
How much overlap?
there is actually a considerable degree of overlap. Even though I come from a background of political science, it's a policy background. It's a question of the allocation of resources. And the whole nexus of my job is figuring out how can we best allocate resources to provide good homes for residents of the Lehigh Valley. So the way I see it, there's a lot of overlap. I was fortunate that both Lafayette and Lehigh were able to provide me with very much on-the-ground educations that created connections to the community that I still use on a daily basis in the work. I was involved with the Landis Community Outreach Center as an undergraduate at Lafayette College.
Explain to us what that is.
It's the clearinghouse for all service activities at Lafayette College. The students, faculty, and staff really do a significant amount of service within the Easton community, partnering with nonprofits and community organizations toward mutually beneficial partnerships. The Landis Center is the central organization, staffed by student employees with a dedicated professional staff that brokers the relationships, organizes the logistics of service, and really makes sure that the engagement and the interaction between the college and the community works to the benefit of both parties.
This outreach by colleges into their communities is something relatively new.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the last decade or two mm-hmm. has been more and more obvious.
Mm-hmm.
And the partnership between Lafayette College and the city of Easton is, I think, a shining example of that.
Mm-hmm.
So is there any kind of an effort at Lehigh University that you know of comparable?
Lehigh University has a community service office as well. So they have a number of students and faculty and staff who volunteer in the community in the same way. They have some major high-profile initiatives, such as the Great Southside Sale, which makes students' discarded possessions at move-out time available to community members, operates as a fundraiser for community organizations. Lehigh has an active presence in the schools. They're closely aligned with communities and schools. So from what I can gather, all we're fortunate in that all the academic institutions here in the Lehigh Valley seem to be really well integrated into their communities.
Yeah, that's a super new initiative, or I say relatively new initiative, by universities and colleges with their communities. Did we talk enough about other products and services that the Community Land Trust provides in addition to houses for sale?
We also operate a program on behalf of Northampton County, a housing rehabilitation program. So this program is for lower-income homeowners who currently own a property that's in need of considerable repairs for health, safety, and code compliance reasons. We offer a program that will provide them with a contractor to complete the repairs and then provide them with a loan with very favorable times and a repayment balance that declines over time to be able to finance those repairs.
Now, once again, who is the audience for this particular service?
These are homeowners located within Northampton County, outside of Bethlehem and Easton city limits. The two cities offer their own programs in-house. We offer the program for the county, for the boroughs and townships of Northampton County.
Outside of the bigger cities.
Outside of the bigger cities, that's correct.
Well, Mike, we're coming to the end of the show.
Mm-hmm.
What else do we want to let folks know about the Community Land Trust, which is a topic, as I said at the beginning, that most of us didn't even know existed? But we're trying to get the word out, and Lehigh Valley Discourse is one of those ways.
And we're very grateful for having us on, for having me on the program today. And if you're interested, feel free to reach out. We love nothing more than to talk to people about the work we do, really build those connections. I can't emphasize enough, give me a call at any time, ask questions, get to know us. We're glad to share our work with anyone. My personal number is 484-893-1061. We have homes that are available for sale. Feel free to call me to ask about the homes or ask about getting involved with the organization. Basically, if we can be of a resource to you in your housing related needs here in the Lehigh Valley, we want to connect with you and we want to make ourselves accessible to you.
And just so everyone knows, it's Mike Handzo, and that's H-A-N-D-Z-O. What's the ethnicity of Handzo?
Slovak.
All right. So, Mike, and you originally from Massachusetts.
That's correct.
How did you find your way into colleges here in the Lehigh Valley? First it was Lafayette, and then it was Lehigh University.
It's actually a family tradition in Lafayette. Both my parents went to Lafayette College. They were actually resident advisors together in the first co-ed dorm building on campus when the college went co-ed. My dad was the first one in his family to attend college, went to Lafayette. There was never any pressure placed on me, but it just was the friendliest school that I looked at when I looked. Then after Lafayette, and I came down here. I was in the valley for the long haul. I'd made my mind up about that at that point. So Lehigh and the Community Fellows Program seemed like the obvious next step that could fit or that would work for the kind of education I was looking for better than anything else out there.
And that was for your master's degree.
That's correct.
Yes. Mike Handzo, thank you so much for coming over, taking time out of your very busy schedule to chat with us here on Lehigh Valley Discourse about the Lehigh Valley Community Land Trust, of which you are project coordinator. Congratulations for that position, too.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure being here today.
This is Lehigh Valley Discourse. We're wrapping it up for another edition. I'm John Pierce, your host, and our engineer, Neil Heaver, always doing his great work on the board for us. He's our operations director here at WDIY, serving the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Until we meet again, remember to be gentle with your neighbor.